you have your Bibles tonight, all the little ones, you can slip right on out, if you would, please. All the little ones, I do appreciate those that help in that. I sure do want to say a thank you to all those that work in the nursery, that work with the children's ministries. I guarantee you there's a crown in heaven for that, reward in heaven, rather. There's only 5 crowns, but there's something special in heaven for those people. James chapter 3. Tonight, I just want to draw your attention. James chapter 3 is about the tongue. It's about our words. Last week, we looked at the fact that the Lord said, look, we put bits in horses' mouths, and they weigh 1,500, 2,000 pounds, and that little 3-pound, 4-pound bridle controls them. We put a rudder on a ship that may be huge, and we steer it. But he said, the tongue is just like that. It says in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So he compares our tongue and our words to a fire. Now you understand that a fire mostly is destructive. But it can be used for warmth, for cooking. It can be used a lot of good things. But if it gets out of bounds, if it gets out of control, it can destroy everything. So is the tongue. Now, tonight, I just want you to see, we're going to look at verse number seven. You'll see it says, for every kind of beast, birds and serpents and all kinds can be tamed. You've seen lion tamers. You've seen tigers tamed. You've seen elephants. All of these in circuses and all kinds of things. Ringling Brothers, when they were around, they had people that controlled all these animals. Now, they didn't turn their back on them, but I've seen men put their head in the mouths of a lion or a tiger. So he says all of these animals on earth can be tamed. But, notice if you would, verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. Now you look at that and say, well, then there's no hope. No man can tame. But by the Spirit of God, it can be. And so you and I have to look at it from the point of view, I can't control my tongue myself. So I've got to get the help of God. I've got to get the wisdom of God. We're going to look at that in a minute. The wisdom of God and the help of God and the strength of God to teach me how to speak. Now, there are some people that just, that you get around them and it just, they cause you to say certain things, maybe at work or different places, but they push the right button or the wrong button, and maybe they don't even intend to. We all have that. We have to learn and take those instances and say, Lord, give me victory over those. Now, I want you to notice why. In verse number 9, he says this, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man. So we praise the Lord and say, Lord, oh, thank you so much for all your blessings with our tongue. And then we get to men and we curse each other, or we are mean to each other. We're rude to each other. But we don't do that to God. And he says, notice if you would, he said, therewith we curse men which are made after the similitude of God. In other words, they've made after the image of God. So don't look at other men in this world and other women in this world and say, well, they're less. I should treat them less than I do the Lord. We treat the Lord and mankind the same, all with grace, all with mercy, all with kindness, all with meekness. If you make a distinction, I want to talk to the Lord. I've got to be very careful what I say. Between that and man, I'm fixing to talk to somebody. I've got to be very careful. I'm fixing to open my mouth. I need to be very careful. Then you're making a mistake according to Scripture. So notice if you would, in verse number 10, and then he says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, so he's speaking to Christians, these things ought not so to be. So he's chastising all of us, and all of us have used our tongues inappropriately, all of us. I want you to notice, he says, then he gives an example. Again, the illustrations are very vivid. Verse 11, doth the fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter water? No. A fountain coming out of the ground doesn't give you sweet water and then bitter water and sweet water and then bitter water. Notice if you would. Verse 12, can the fig tree, my brethren? So do you understand the compassion that James is speaking with? My brethren, verse 10, these things ought not so to be. Verse 12, can the fig tree, my brethren? It's almost like he's saying, look, do you understand, Mary? Do you understand, Bob? Do you understand, out of our mouths, hey, Bob, out of our mouths, Mary, out of our mouths. He's trying to direct it to all of us so that we understand he's not speaking to the world. He's speaking to the saints of God, to all of us. Now notice, if you would, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs. And you would say, absolutely not. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water? Verse 13. And here's his conclusion of that six verses before it. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge? Now, everybody in this room, how do we get wisdom? Ask for it. It's free. If any man lack wisdom, look over in James 1. James 1. Notice if you would. Verse 5. If any man of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. So because we don't have the wisdom of God, now, he's going to compare it in a minute to the wisdom of men. And the wisdom of men say, I think I talk all right. But the wisdom of God is always the truth. So notice, if you would, verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Now, here's the passage. You might want to take note of this. Let him show out of a good conversation. Remember, this is the third time in the book of James. He says, show your religion to be real. How do you show somebody that you're genuine? How do you show somebody that you're saved? How do you show somebody that you're truly a born again, a son, a daughter of Christ? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Now, this word show, deknuo, is the word to expose to the eyes. Literally, it's to give proof. I want to show you that my Jesus lives in my heart. I want to show you, give you proof that I love the Lord more than anything else in the world. So I'm going to control my tongue. I'm going to show it to you. There are different ways James speaks about showing that your religion is real. You and I can talk all we want, but until we control our tongues and learn to be gracious and generous and kind, notice if you would, we're never going to convince anybody that our Lord is real, that he's first place in our lives. If the average woman speaks 25,000 words a day and the average man speaks 12 to 14,000 a day, 15, then we've got a lot of chances to show Christ. Or it's very quick to show that he's not first. That we're just a phony. Doesn't mean we're not saved, but it means our religion. Take your Bible and turn to James 1. Look at verse 26. Let's put them together. If any among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he gives us back the same example in chapter 3, a horse with a bridle. Now, the only difference is nobody in this room puts a bridle in your wife or husband or brother or sister's mouth. Bridleth not what? His tongue. We do it ourselves. But deceiveth his own heart. One of the ways that you can deceive yourself into thinking you're a good Christian is if you say, well, I don't curse, but are you mean to your mate? Are you rude? Do you use harsh words? Do you use hateful words? Do you use, and here's one, hindering words? Words that keep someone from going forward. They have to pause and heal their wounds before they continue to go forward. If somebody gets injured, they have to lay up for a while to let their injuries heal. Hindering words. All of us have to be careful. All of us do. I do. Well, this passage, this whole book has been convicting to my heart as I've been preparing it. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 26, but deceiveth his own heart, this is James 1:26, this man's religion is what? It's vain. It's not the fact that you're lost. It just has no benefit to the people that hear you talk. It has no benefit. It has no power. It is vain. It is useless, is the word. Useless. It's useless to show that Jesus is first in your life. Now, let's go back over to James 3 and notice this. Who is a wise man? So the idea is that if we ask God for wisdom, he will show us what to say and what not to say. And endued with knowledge. Now, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to 2 Peter. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, their salvation, and by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. We're born again. Verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, add to your faith. We both add and subtract. Put off, the Bible says in Ephesians 4. Add says here. What's this? Add to your faith virtue, and what's the next one? Knowledge. So you and I are responsible to add knowledge and wisdom. How do we gain knowledge? We take whatever the Bible says. We study out what is good conversation. Okay? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Colossians chapter 4. Okay? Verse 6. But then you got Psalm 34, 17. You know, be careful that your tongue doesn't speak evil. So there's all kinds of passages that you and I can memorize from the Word of God to say, help me, Lord, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So you go through, I go through and memorize eight or ten verses on words, the choice of our words, the kind of words we need to use. Once we've done that, then we say, Lord, give me wisdom how to use those verses to help me bridle my tongue. You cannot, but you can, in your own heart, ask the Holy Spirit to touch your heart when you're in a conversation with someone, and then the verse comes to mind, let your speech be always with grace. And so the verses, the knowledge of what God wants you to do comes into your mind, and the wisdom of God allows you to be able to select one of those four or five verses that you begin to make decisions appropriately bridling your tongue, my tongue. So now let's go back and look at James chapter 3, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you. Okay, so you say, well, I believe I have some wisdom and knowledge. Okay, then let him show, let him prove it. Remember, show is to expose to the eyes or to give proof. Now notice this, out of a good conversation, his works, and here's the attitude. It's not that we should chomp at the bit. I've had horses that I would ride and they would, you know, roll the bit around their mouth with their tongue. They'd chomp at it. You'd pull it back, but they didn't want to stop. And you know, they'd chomp at the bit. You'd turn it to the right and they'd chomp at the bit and it wouldn't go right. But you'd pull it a little bit more, well, they had to go right. Because wherever their head goes, they got to go with it. So if you've got the reins, you can pull it over, and that bit pulls them over. They nothing they can do. And if you pull back on it, there's that little tongue depressor in there. You pull back on it, it mashes down the tongue, and that hurts anybody. I mean, that hurts a horse, and he's weighing 2,000 pounds. It doesn't matter. So he's going to begin to freeze up. And so he says, look, you and I need to learn to freeze up when our tongue gets a little bit out of control. But you can't chomp at the bit. So he speaks about how the attitude should be with our speech. You and I can't just say, well, you know, I'm using wisdom and the knowledge of God, and we have this almost arrogance about us. I think I'd do a good job of it. Let's look at this, verse 13. Let him show, give evidence, proof, reveal to the eyes, out of a good conversation, his works. Here's the attitude, with meekness. It's a mildness. It's a humility of wisdom. So you and I need the wisdom of God to know how to present something with meekness. Was Moses a weak man? No. He was one of the greatest leaders Israel's ever had. But the Bible says he was the meekest man on earth. How do those go together? The wisdom and knowledge of God. I think he spent so much time in the presence of God when he came down. I think, does anybody know what the voice of God sounds like? The Bible says he speaks many times in a still small voice. Now, we don't know what his voice sounds like, but we know the volume of it. We know that God speaks in a still small voice. There's a meekness about God. And so you and I need to learn the wisdom of God to speak with a meek voice. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Peter. I want you to see this. I really hate this verse, to be honest with you. You'll see why in a minute. Notice 2 Peter. Well, it's 1 Peter. You'll hate that verse too, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I apologize. It's Timothy. I don't know what I was thinking. 2 Timothy. Yeah. Yeah, you hate that verse because it's not in there. That's good. 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. Notice, if you would, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. So we're not argumentative. But what? Be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, in other words, willing to explain, patient. You mean you didn't understand? I can't. Patient. I hate that word. Because I want to get things done quickly and now. And this passage really convicts my heart. Notice the next verse. In meekness, instructing those that impose themselves. If peradventure God will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. So if you're talking to someone and they're in error, the Bible says you can't convince them with your logic. You convince them with the meekness and the knowledge of God. Because you give them space, because you're not pressing them to say, I never thought about that. It's not a battle of who's right and wrong. That's where we get into debates. Is it a battle between right and wrong? I have to watch that. Notice that they may recover themselves. So if you happen to be right, speak meekly. And teach softly and be patient. Now, patient means they don't always get it the first time or the second. We are not this way. I'm not this way. And boy, I tell you what, it's just convicting me all over. And you'll notice, now let's take just a minute and say, it's not someone that it says in meekness instruct those that oppose themselves. How many times have we opposed each other in a church environment? Or, two people outside on Saturday, we're doing mulch, and somebody says, I think we ought to put the mulch, start, let's start over there. And somebody says, well, I think we ought to start over here. You know, I like to start near the front rather than starting in the back, but some people may say, well, the pile's right here, let's go. I mean, in meekness, instruct those. Some things are not worth the strife. The servant of the Lord must not strive. So the idea is we have to learn not to strive, not to be argumentative. But if we feel like we're right, be gentle to all men, especially those that oppose you or that have a different view. Oppose is to be opposite of. So if you and your husband or you and your wife have opposite views of something, in meekness, talking about it with patience. Doesn't this make sense? If two people love the Lord and want to do right, genuinely so, and they talk to each other with meekness, eventually, aren't they both going to come to truth? If the Spirit of God is leading them, they have to. The problem is, I don't use patience. I don't use meekness. And so, the other person wells up and can't see what I'm saying. You and I have to learn how to talk with people that oppose us. That's when we get upset and angry. But the Lord gives us the secret right here. This is knowledge. Take your Bible and turn back over to James, if you would. In verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. And see, there's the key. We're a little bit bitter in our heart. We're frustrated with someone. We're a little bit stricken with strife. We don't mind a little strife. He said, it's in our hearts. There's the problem. So we have to get our heart right before we can speak right. All of us. Notice this. He says, glory not. He said, if you want to brag about something, don't brag about, well, I'm telling you the truth. I know I'm right. Glory not. Don't brag about it. And lie not against the truth. Sometimes we just push our way or our idea, even though it may not be 100% accurate or right. Don't lie against the truth. Notice verse 15. This wisdom. So watch this. There's two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom of God, and there's the wisdom of man. How many have ever been involved in a debate? Anybody done any debating? You know, what they do is they give you two opposing views. And they say to you, okay, you try to convince us. And maybe you got to try to convince somebody of something that's wrong. And they do that in school sometimes. They give them the two different sides of something and have each one try to argue that other side. And so you'll notice he says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. In other words, if you're trying to convince somebody of something that's wrong, or you're talking in such a way that doesn't allow them to have the room to make a good decision, to say, you know, that makes sense to me. Isn't it very difficult to agree with somebody when they're in your face, they're pushing you? Well, they're short with you. That's why the Bible says, in meekness, instruct those, in patience. I'm really working on this in my life. And it seems like I get put in circumstances where I get passionate. You know, there's we're dealing with one particular person with the land and stuff. There's one guy that just, when I deal with him, it's like, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me patience. Give me grace. Because I think about this. Would I rather get him to do what he ought to do? Or would I rather see him saved? That's a terrible question. Sure, I'd rather see him saved. But I'd like to get him to do right too. But you know, sometimes we just have to do right first in meekness. And notice, if you would, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. Here's the next word, sensual, fleshly, and devilish. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. You mean when I'm trying to get this guy and I'm mad at him and I'm in my heart, as angry as I've ever gotten, I've never cursed anybody out, ever. But you know, you get upset and somebody, you know, you just have to, it's devilish, he says. Notice if you would, verse 14, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, that's where you have to stop it so it doesn't get to our tongue. You know what this would do for our homes and our marriages and our relationships with our brothers and sisters? It would change it. Notice if you would, this is the thing that scares me. Verse 16. For where there is envying and strife, arguing, wrangling, debate, there's confusion. Who's right, who's wrong? Is the Lord pleased with, is he not? And here's the next phrase that gets me. Every evil work. Wow. I don't want that in my home. I don't want that in my heart. Notice, the word in verse 14, bitter, envying. Bitter is the word picros. It's the word for sharp. It is sharp words. When they're hurtful words, when they're words to make the other person back up or make the other prove your point or whatever, it's a sharp word. It's a word that comes out of something of the heart that I'm not being treated fairly, or this isn't right, or you haven't treated me fairly. And so the past affects the heart, which affects the present words. We have to fix that. You'll notice it says bitter ending. Bitterness is always something that comes from something that's pricked us from before. So notice with me, if you would, in verse number 17, and we'll stop here. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then we'll stop on this word. Then what? Peaceable. So the wisdom that God gives is peaceable. It brings two people together, the wisdom of God does. And folks, that's what words should do. It brings the sinner together with the points of Scripture. It brings the saints together to do the will of God. It brings a family together to serve the Lord right without confusion. It's peaceable. It means there's nothing outstanding out there. We lay our arms and our battle armaments down, and we say, Lord, help me. But you have to watch your heart, because it starts in the heart. There's something out there that's done in the past, and you can't get over it. And it gets to your tongue. And without the wisdom of God, you'll always say the wrong thing. It's a lie. And then there's no peace. There's confusion. And by the way, then there's every other evil work. That's what should scare you. Every evil work. There's murder in the heart. There's hatred in the heart. There's bitterness in the heart. There's frustration with the heart. There's strife in the heart. Folks, we have to protect ourselves from that. And you got to make your heart, you give it to the Lord. You know, I read this little poem earlier. I'm going to read to you again. There is no way in which men can do good to others with so little expense and trouble as by kindness in words. We should think that kind words would be very common. They are so cheap. Everybody's got them. But there are many persons who have a large assortment of all other language except kind words. They have bitter words, witty words, learned words in abundance. But their stock of kind words is small. There are persons who draw on their kindness with more reluctance than on their purses. The habit of using kind words will at length conform us to the image of Christ. How are your words tonight? Are they with using the wisdom of God from a heart for God? All of us tonight have a choice. The wisdom of God or the wisdom of the world. One is peaceable, one brings strife. Be careful of your words. Let's bow his word of prayer tonight. Ask Brother Brandon to come and lead us a verse of invitation hymn. The message is very simple. If you need to come tonight, just talk with the Lord. In your business, how are your words? If we would go to your job and ask what kind of Christian you are, what would they say you have shown to them? In your home, your brother or your sister. Folks, could I plead with you? Brethren, be careful of your words. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight that we might bring people to Christ because of the meekness of our spirits, kindness of our words, the patience of our heart. In your name we pray. Amen.